Hari ini sahana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Starting Lord Shiva's prayers to his wife.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Lord Shiva offered these prayers to the original material potency, goddess Kali. This is all in the commentary, right?
Yes.
In the beginning of material creation, you alone existed in the form of complete darkness. Then, when the Supreme Brahman desired to create, you gave birth to the entire material world. This tantra preaches the idea of the Shankya philosophy, for it describes a Purusha aloof from matter and Prakriti active in matter's world. In that tantra, Lord Shiva also tells Goddess Kali, you manifest a form of darkness, and then when the material worlds are dissolved, you are again formless. You are beyond the power of the mind to know or words to describe. When the world is unmanifest, you alone remain. In this world, you are the living entities. You are the knowledge personified. You are the supreme goddess. Right. So, in other words, these are all different aspects that he's bringing out about Durga, right? About the material energy. So, in this first aspect, means beginning, you alone exist in the form of the complete darkness. Means there was nothing else material there. Right, it means, in other words, there's nothing, no other manifestation of the external energy. So, in complete darkness, that means the pradhan. Right, so before, then when the supreme Brahman desired to create, that means then it's Brahman who's desiring to create, not Durga. Right, you gave birth to the entire material world. Then from her, everything is coming. Right, it's always important that if it is correct shlokas from the Veda. Then, if there's any contradiction, they're both right. So you have to figure out what makes it that both of them work. Right? Not that, well, this contradicts that, so which one's right, or because there's a contradiction, none of them are right. No, they're both right. So when you manifest a form of darkness, again, the same thing, pradhan. And then when the material worlds are dissolved, right, at the end, means in the beginning, it's just pradhan. And at the end, again, it's pradhan. So in other words, it's pradhan, manifestation, again pradhan. You're beyond the power of the mind to know or the words to describe. One is pradhan, means if he's taking it as that, you manifest. No one can know what's beyond that, because the point is this mind, intelligence, none of that is manifest. So how can someone contemplate it? Right? When the world is unmanifest, you alone remain. So it means, again, like before, in the beginning of material creation, the only thing of the material existence is this pradhan, right? And at the end, that's all that remains, right? But, as mentioned before, the supreme Brahman is what desires to deal. Yes.
This verse where the Shaktas may take Durga.
Yes. The Shaktas, the Shaktas, these are their verses that they'll take and take them out of context. Yes.
What do they say about when the Supreme Brahman decides to create?
Who knows? We'll see there. We'll see if he mentions something there. But otherwise, they'll say she's the Supreme, or they'll say Shiva's the Supreme.
Yeah.
Like that. They always have some funny twist. Right? Okay. Here it is said that the individual living entities are not different from the potency of material nature. This contradicts the view of Shankya. Right? You are the knowledge prasad, you are the supreme goddess. In this world, you are the living entities. But it doesn't mean she's the jivas. It means, what do the living entities call themselves? Right? Why do you see a living entity?
Right?
No, that's there, that's why they're here.
Okay.
But what is it you're seeing? Like, yeah, we're seeing the body. What's that made out of?
Material energy.
Right? So the body, all the subtle nuances, is all the mind and interacting with the body. So what you're always seeing is material energy. So that means what you're seeing that you think that's the person, no, that's the material energy. So she is the living entities. Right? But she's not the jivas. The jivas are beyond. But that people will take it that, oh no, she is the living entities. Therefore, life comes from material energy. The soul comes from the material energy. Consciousness comes from the material energy. No, but people aren't identified. I mean, you're not in the material world because you're seeing with spiritual vision. You're in the material world because you see with material vision. Does that make sense? Yeah. As long as good and bad karma are not destroyed, there is no liberation for the conditioned souls, even after 100 kulpas. Right? So 100 kulpas means you can either say a kulpa is a day of Brahma, because that's a long time, right? That's 1,000 cycles of the yuga. Or you can mean a kulpa can mean, you know, how you say, Brahma's lifetime itself. But in any case, as good and bad karma are not destroyed, one stays here. So it's not a matter of so if I'm just good, then I'll get liberated. No, it's if you're not good, you're not bad, right? Because that's what Brahman is. It's just neutral. So that means good work has to be given up, bad work has to be given up. So what do? So that means you can only do spiritual work, right? Does that make sense? That's the only thing that you can do to get out of here. So it's indicating that direction. Even if he performs pious deeds again and again, and even if he performs 100 harsh penances, if he has no transcendental knowledge, the living entity will not attain liberation. They who are wise and pure-hearted, and who seek after the truth and perform pious deeds, without expectation of reward, attain transcendental knowledge. Right? So therefore, it means he is one is the knowledge. Okay, what is it? If he has no transcendental knowledge, the living entity will not attain liberation. Right. So, how does he get transcendental knowledge? Wise, pure-hearted, seek after the truth and perform pious deeds without expectation of a reward. In other words, only through cultivating transcendental knowledge with naishkarmya, right? Then one will get transcendental knowledge. Right. Does that make sense? So with that transcendental knowledge, then one can get liberated. But that means if he has transcendental knowledge, he has knowledge of the Lord. So, but that still, there has to be that devotion. Otherwise, how does he get liberated?
He doesn't have direct knowledge of the Lord. He gets in that shanta rasa, just appreciating.
Yeah, just appreciating. But the point is he appreciates the Supreme. Right? So therefore, he's going to get liberated. So technically, what does that mean? Will Mayavadis ever get liberated?
Yeah.
No, they can't. That's why it says they go to the killers of the soul, go to the darkest regions. A Brahmavadi is not a killer of the soul. He just thinks it's all soul. Right? But the Mayavadis, the Buddhists like this, because they have a soul, they want to get rid of that, then they go to the darkest regions. Right? Because the natural position of the living entity is in service to Krishna. Right? So then, that's there in the spiritual world. Okay? Then he accepts the Supreme Lord and himself the transcendental position, but not the service element. Then that's Brahman. Right? He accepts, okay, that he's there, he's following, you know, the Lord's instructions and all that. Then he gets the heavenly planets. Then he comes here. If he's impious, he goes to the hellish planets, right? But now, if you don't exist, You understand? And all those you exist, but it's a matter of whether you're connecting yourself to the Lord or not, how close or far away. Now, if you don't exist, where does that put you?
In the mud.
Right, yeah, the farthest away. Right? Yeah, because if you're in Brahman, at least it's all Brahman, it's light. But if you're in the Garbhodak mud, then it's like, you know, then what is it? It's just all dark. It's void. It's like, you know, like that. Okay. One does not attain liberation by chanting mantras or performing yajñas or by fasting 100 times. Only one who knows I am Brahman attains liberation. Right? So in other words, the karmakanda itself can never give you liberation. And even it's performed with naishkarmya. Naishkarmya will give you transcendental knowledge, but it's only when you know that I am Brahman that you can get liberated. Right? But this is not I am Brahman, meaning that I am the same as the Brahman, like the Mayavadis are saying. Because the point is if everything's Brahman, I'm just part of that Brahman. You know, it's all Brahman, so I'm also Brahman. But the thing is no, I become the total of Brahman. That's not actual knowledge. That's an illusion. Because you're a jiva, you'll always remain a jiva. But you can be a jiva who's just situated in as Brahman. Or you're a jiva who is thinking, I am the totality of everything. So that's not real. So actually, he'll never get liberated because it's not transcendental knowledge. Right. If the people could attain liberation by imagining themselves so, then they could also become kings simply by dreaming of kingdoms. Right? You know, so it's the same thing. You just sit there and sit around, yes, I'm Narayana. You know, it's like everybody's Narayana. Then you could also just say, oh, you know, yes, Maharaj, yes, oh, yeah, great kings, we're all kings. You know, like that, or, you know, we're all millionaires, yeah, billionaires, you know, like that. White billionaire, trillionaires, you know. Like this. You know, so it doesn't work.
That's the secret.
Huh? That's the secret. Yeah, yeah. Has it worked? Do you hear anything more about the secret? Is anybody talking about the secret anymore? That's the point. Yeah. Because it didn't work.
It got secret.
Yeah, what happened to the Egyptians? Yeah, okay. Look at that.
It worked for the filmmakers.
Huh?
It worked for the filmmakers.
Of course.
The authors.
Yeah, but now what do they do? What's the next book? You know? Right? Move over. The secret, and you know, somewhere else.
Yes. Nobody's talking about it. Maybe that's why Krishna says, "Of secret things, I'm silence."
Could be, but it would have been good if a few years ago they had understood that. Yeah. But Krishna says he's the secret of all secrets. So because they don't know that secret, they don't actually know the secret. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower. Are all manifest, knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower all manifest from illusion, maya. When these three are carefully investigated and properly understood, only the spirit self remains. Right? So in other words, what is if you're separating it like this, the spirit soul remains, that means knowledge, it means the object of knowledge and the knower, you're talking about the conditioning, because what knows? The mind knows, the intelligence is knowing. Right? So if you study them, then it means the mind is, through the senses, perceiving the world. The intelligence is helping analyze that. Decisions are being made based upon myself as the knower. So that knowledge that I gain from that, so that knowledge, that knower, and that what is seen, that's all the material energy. The soul is separate. That's why it's so important that if it's not connected to Krishna, it's not spiritual. Because he mentioned before, the rituals won't get you liberated, the mantras won't get you liberated. You know, just imagining that you're liberated won't get you liberated. Right? It's only by proper knowledge that's being performed through the authorized activities with detachment. That will get you the knowledge. Right? That will get you realization. In other words, you have knowledge. With that, you practice that. Then you get realization. Right, because otherwise the knowledge is used twice. How do you get the knowledge? You have to have the knowledge, right? But that means you have the knowledge of it. Then by practice, you get the realization of it, right? That will then take you through. Does that make sense? Yeah. But that only gets you up to liberation, right? So then it means only if that's done in connection with the Supreme Lord, and that, even that, in devotion, that gets you bhakti. Because even if you know the Supreme Lord, if you're just doing those activities with knowledge of the Supreme Lord, then this also runs the chance that all you get is liberation. Because it's devotion to the Lord that is the specific element of the spiritual world. Right? Not that it's liberated. That just means the spiritual world is sought. Material world's also sought. Brahman is sought. That means you can be liberated here. Right? You don't have to go to Brahman to be liberated. This is Brahman. It's sought. Right? The soul is sought. Right? Also Chittananda. But it's sought. Right? The spiritual world is sought. But it has Chittananda. Right? So you don't have to go anywhere to be liberated. But the problem is because the soul is sat chit ananda, and the material world is only sat with chit ananda is repressed. Right? Because it's a reflection. So the reflection exists, so sat is there, but the chit ananda doesn't. Right? Because we're talking about transcendental knowledge, right? The spiritual energy, that's transcendental knowledge. But if you reflect that, that's the knowledge of the material world. Knowledge of the material world won't get you out of the material world. As he said, the knowledge, the knower, and the known, those are all the material energy. You have to actually know what's beyond, what's transcendental. Does this make sense? Yeah? So, yeah. So that means then, since the soul is sat chit ananda, the chit and ananda aspect can't actually be appreciated in the material context. You have to go beyond the material context. So that means you have to have knowledge of the spiritual world. Because otherwise, if you only have knowledge, but you don't, that ananda, that means that you're getting that from doing activity. Right? Chit means knowledge and activity. So when that knowledge and activity are done in devotion to the Lord, then that gives prema. Right? So then one is situated in the spiritual world. But if one doesn't have that, then one has to remain on a lower level. It's just science. It's just naturally what it is. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just we're saying this. It's just what you're dealing with. Spiritual is Satchitananda, right? And that means it's there because it's in full knowledge because it's in relationship to the Lord. So if we want to be part of that, then we have to also engage that Satchitananda in the connection of the Lord. Right? And since we're not directly connected to the Lord, we're connected to the energy, right? The internal potency, right? So it's the internal potency that reflects as the external. So by mistake, we're connecting ourselves there. So all we have to do is shift it from the external to the internal. Because the internal is already connected to the Lord. You know, does that make sense? You know, it means I'm touching the electricity, someone comes up and touches me, now they're touching the electricity. Right? You know, that kind of thing. So that's how it works. Does that make sense? Knowledge is the spirit soul. The object of knowledge is also the spirit soul. The knowbeer.
Oh, it's knower.
Knower. The knowbeer. So, but actually, here, see, is what he's meaning is that the new knower, right? The newbie knower is a knowbeer. Is also the spirit soul. Right? One who knows this knows the truth of the spirit soul. That was some old word. The knowbeer, right? Means it means the
I thought it was the knobbier.
The knobbier.
The no beer.
Ah, only one who is involved with no beer, then he'll understand what is the. So that means there's no. No chance for the Irish. Sorry about that. Don't worry, the Germans are, you know, you have company with them. At least the Bavarians, okay, maybe the other ones. The knower is also the spirit soul. So knowledge is spirit soul, the object knowledge is spirit soul, the knower is also the spirit soul. In other words, it's not the material energy. Because you're looking through the material senses with the material mind, getting that material energy of a material object, that's not actually knowledge. Right? Knowledge is knowledge of the spirit soul. The spirit soul is the one who knows that knowledge, and it's the spirit soul by contemplating what is spirit That is the knowledge to be known.
Is he making a differentiation between transcendental knowledge here and the material knowledge?
Yes, that's why he says that this knowledge, the object of knowledge and knower, all manifest from illusion. So now he's saying this: knowledge is the spirit soul, the object of knowledge is also the spirit soul. Means, in other words, there's a difference. Only the spirit self remains. When these three are carefully investigated and properly understood, only the spirit self remains. Then when that remains, then you know it's the soul who's the knowledge. Soul is the object of knowledge, and the soul is the knower of knowledge. Right? And so one who knows this knows the truth of the spirit soul. No one else knows. Right? The truth is that the different tantras expound very different philosophies. It cannot be said that every tantra teaches the worship of the material energy, Shaktivada. Right? Because they'll teach that because, as we mentioned before, is when people are in these preliminary stages before they actually take up bhakti, that they're going to, according to their particular conditioning and attachment, they're going to be involved in a particular aspect of material engagement. Right? And so for them, that's their preliminary. Right? Because they're looking for the supreme, they just don't know, but the covering of maya is so much, they can't actually tell what's supreme. So whatever is interesting to them or important to them, that's supreme. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. So then it goes on. So therefore, he's saying some of the tantras will say that the worship of the material energy, because at least they're accepting something superior to themselves. Right? If someone doesn't accept anything superior to themselves, then that's not a very good platform. But it's a beginning platform, just like babies. There's nothing else but themselves. And then with time, because they're on anamoy, with time then they start to see, well, there's the mother, and then there's the father, right? Then there's other members of the family, there's community, right? Does that make sense? Then they understand the nature of all those, the dharma. Then they understand the nature of the soul. Then they get to the gyanamoy. Then they understand the nature of Godhead, right? So it is a beginning place. But the problem is depending upon how much they're attached to that, it makes it very difficult for them to move beyond it. So that's why in the preaching, you go and you check, you preach, you see what kind of response you get. You get a response, you keep cultivating it. Just like if we say, make a fire, right? You go to what you think is a coal, you blow on it. Like if we go here and blow on one of these little red little things, we won't get any fire. Then we know that, okay, move on. Right? Isn't that what the guy's telling us? We'll go, hey, get out of here. You know, it's like, yeah. So it's like, yeah, move on, right? You know? Does that make sense? So you find where it works. Right? If there's even the smallest chance, you try. So that means you try everybody. It's not, oh no, those guys can never, because you don't know. So that's why so many areas of preaching and all these different things gets tried. Where you get the results, that's where you cultivate. Does that make sense? Like Prabhupada, he's on the upper west side, right? In New York, the only thing better than the upper west side is the upper east side, right? You know, that's you don't get better than that. Like that's where all the rich people are, the culture people are, all the different things like that. But he's not getting any proper response. They're nice, they like him around, you know, everything like that. But it's when something happens, he has to move to the lower east side. You know, which socially is one of the, at least at that time, was one of the worst areas. And at the Lower East Side, on the Bowery, that's like the pits, right? You know? Like that. And so, but there he gets response. So you cultivate there. You know, he never went back up to the Upper West Side and stuff. You understand? Because the results are coming there, so that's what you cultivate. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because down there anyway, the guys down at Wall Street and that, sometimes they have to walk through anyway. So they could come by, you know, Tompkins Square Park and that, and then catch something, tell the friends, and it could start. And then you could see, okay, something's there. But it didn't. Right? Does that make sense? So the idea is, where you get something, that's where you fan. If there's a spark, fan it. If there's no spark, move on. So that's the point. That's why the innocent... Where the innocent are, you preach to them. But those who are, you know, really adamantly stuck to their position, you don't bother. Right?
That's a transcendental vision, right? No attachment to this rich part, I like more this part. That he's just looking for a response.
He's just looking for the response. You know, where's the response? Because the point is wherever you start, it'll end up going around the other end anyway, right? Because then you're stalking that. Then, you know, of that, somebody's going to come, or the devotees get purified enough they can culturally work with those, anything. So eventually you'll catch everybody. But you have to start somewhere, wherever you're getting the response, because you have a nature, you have an ability, you apply that wherever that works, that's where you cultivate. Does that make sense? Right. Yeah, and the idea is you have to catch the fish without getting wet. So if you get wet, then wasn't such a good catch.
Does that depend on the size of the fish?
Oh, it also depends upon which perspective. For the fish, wow, great catch. You know? We got the fisherman. Hey, you know, that was a good catch. You know?
So all your friends.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, especially the piranhas, right?
Yeah, yeah, tell your friends.
Back at the house, you can have them hang back on a flag.
The fisherman there, yeah, yeah. Like that. Okay. The truth is that the different tantras expound very different philosophies. It cannot be said that, right, because people are in the mode of ignorance, so they have all these different varieties of their material attachment. So the tantras are all telling different things. Right? It's just like the Puranas are in the three modes. It's not that the Puranas are in the mode. It's just written in language that it attracts that mode. So the tantras are the same.
So is there a Vaishnava tantra?
Vaishnava, yes. That's what we're doing, the deity worship, that's Vaishnava. Tantra simply means the ritual. Right? You have mantra and you have tantra. Tantra means how to use the mantra in ritual. Right? In general, when you say tantra, it generally means the shaktas.
Yeah. Yeah.
But technically, tantra simply means what is the ritual. Right? Yeah, sattvakant tantras. Right? So, but your tantra tantras, those are generally tamasic. Right? So since there's a wide variety of tamasic, then they give different ways you can be tamasic.
Or the yantra? We have
that. Yantra. Yantra is just the mantra in a form of a deity.
The needle is quiet and
yeah, but it's still the mantra is in the form for a deity. Right? Then you apply the tantra on worshipping the yantra with the mantra. Okay. Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. In some tantras, that philosophy is accepted, and in other tantras, it not. There was a purpose to the capital. Yeah. Yes. What was I saying? Okay. It is vehement, and in other tantras, it is not. It is vehemently opposed. In some tantras, it is said that the Supreme Brahman is the creator. In others, that material nature, Prakriti, is the creator. And in others, that the individual soul, Jiva, is the creator. Right? So, in other words, the Tantra will say this, but because they don't have Vedanta, then they're not able to pull it all together. Right? Okay? Yeah. Okay, so the point is that it says Supreme Brahman is the creator, because it's the Lord who creates. It's his energies that transform. What is the transformation of his energy? It's the external energy. So the actual creation happens through the external energy. So then you could say it's a material energy that creates. But at the same time, it's what's being created. What's being created is the result of the karmas of the living entities. So in that way, you could say the living entities are the creators. Like Krishna says in the Gita, the living entities are maintaining the universe. We know that Vishnu is the maintainer. But the point is, the reason the universe is being run, the reason Vishnu maintains is because the living entities are there with their desires. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you have a shop. You're out on the street. So people are coming. There's a crowd. You keep open. When there's no crowd, you pack up and go home. Yeah. Yes.
To which body of knowledge tantras refer?
Sorry?
To which body of knowledge tantras refer? Like the Upanishad, Brahmana, Samhita, tantras?
Oh, where are they? Where would they be from?
Yeah. I was reading today Nardapancharatra.
Nardapancharatra. Means they would all be what you technically call agamas. Agamas means that which come from the Vedas. So you have the Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas you have the Dharma Sutras and Griya Sutras. So that would give all your ritual from there. So that's directly Vedic. But then also coming from the Veda, it will be the Tantra. Right? And then the Pancharatra is a combination of the Tantra and the Vedic. See, the problem with the Vedic is you have to have certain qualifications to follow it. According to the problem with the Tantra is actually you have to have certain material qualifications. The Pancharatra is you'd require no material qualifications. You have to simply have the spiritual. Right? So the Pancharatra is universal. Well, Vedic, you know, is exclusive in the mode of goodness, and Tantra much of the time is depending. You know, it can be in any of the three modes. But the problem with them, they're more exclusive, while the Pancharatra is universal. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, performing yajnas comes part of Tantra? Performing yajnas.
Part of?
Tantra.
Means the yajna itself is from the Vedas, so it's part of the Vedic ritual, but you can use pure Vedic ritual, you can use tantric ritual, or you can use a mix.
Okay.
Like that. Okay. Okay. It sometimes is said that the individual souls are illusory, mitya, and in others it is said that individual souls are real, satya. Right? So, means that the soul is identifying with the body, that's not real. That he has a purusha bhav, that's not real. Right? But that the soul exists, that's real. So it's just one brings out one side, but doesn't talk about the other.
Yeah.
So it catches the attention of that kind of person.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? In some tantras, it's said that the letter M in the sacred syllable Om is the creator. In other tantras, that the Supreme Person, Purusha, and material Prakriti are both the creators. And in other tantras, that material nature is the sole creator of all. Right? Does that make sense? So again, same thing that we said before. It's just, as the Supreme Lord, the material nature, are both creators. And in other words, he is the actual power behind it, and she gets it done. Right? And that way, then they're both creators. Just like the living entity is Purusha because he's trying to enjoy material energy, but actually only Vishnu is Purusha, right? In conclusion, it may be said that so many different philosophies are taught in the tantras that no one of them can be singled out as the only philosophy of the tantras. Right, because they're all there. Because that's the beauty. Vedanta includes all of them, so we don't have a problem with any one of them. But to try to say one of them, which is the philosophy of the tantra, the only actual philosophy of the tantras is Vedanta, right? But people don't take it that way. They try to take one part of it and make that supreme. In the previously quoted verse, beginning with the words "Shrishter Adao," beginning with "Shrishter Adao." So that was the first one. Okay, in the beginning of material creation, you alone exist in the form of complete darkness. Then, when the Supreme Brahman desired to create, you gave birth to the entire world. Okay. It is said that before the material world was created, material nature alone existed, and that by the Supreme Brahman's desire, the material nature created the material world. What is the material nature? Who is the Supreme Brahman? When he attains transcendental knowledge, will the individual soul become the Supreme Brahman? In the verse beginning with the words "Tvam eva jivo loke smin," it is said that the individual souls are identical with the material nature. Those words make no sense. In the tantras are also described lata sadhana, ritual illicit sex, pancha makara sadhana, ritual activities of sex and consumption of flesh, fish, and wine. Okay, that is 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 4. There's a fifth one. Because it says pancha makara. Sex, consumption of flesh, fish, and wine. Probably intoxication. And sura sadhana, ritual wine drinking. What kinds of religious activities are these? I have no idea how these can be considered religious activities. These desires are like the atheistic karma mimamsa, or the goddess of material nature imagined by Kant. This kind of tantric worship was created in someone's imagination. I will not say anything more about it. Right? In other words, the Shastra itself doesn't talk about these. People have created these based on the Shastra. Right? Just like Karma Mimamsa, he's taken the Veda and then created his own method. Right? It'll refer back to. So they'll use, you know, mantras from and some ritual from here and there, but they'll put together this. So this element, what do you say? The Pancha Makara Sadhana. Right? In other words, there's ones that just get into illicit sex, ones that get into illicit sex meat eating, fish and wine. Did I already mention wine? And surasana, just the intoxication. Right? So he's saying, how are these religious activities? What's the religion? What are you based it on? What's the nature of those things and the living entity? Right? What's the conditioning of the living entity that requires this? Right? The body doesn't require it. Right? The mind goes on fine without it. So how is the living entity becoming attached to these and making a ritual out of it? So what does it do? So that's the point. So he says that he will not say anything more about it. Right? Because otherwise then people this, that. But the point is he's given from the text of the scriptures that shows all the different variety. But how does it get down into these elements? Right? So, but whatever, they have their ideas. Okay. Text 15. Some say ideas alone exist. There is no God. There is no world. There are no living entities. Ideas are eternal and of great variety. Nothing else exists. Great. So then if only ideas exist, then we don't have to listen to this necessary that person, you know. Or at least, you know, if you listen, but it doesn't matter if we hit him over the head with a cricket bat, because there are no living entities. He's not actually there talking, right? It's only ideas, right?
Whose ideas?
Whose ideas? Ah, now that's the ideas, because there's no living entities, so it can't be their ideas. So. Then it must be only the stream of consciousness, right? But then there is no stream of consciousness, so... That's the problem with these things. It's, in other words, you say something that doesn't quite make sense but sounds nice. That's the trick. You can't say something that doesn't make sense and doesn't sound nice. You have to say something that doesn't make sense but sounds nice. And then people go, oh, yes.
If it doesn't make sense but sounds bad.
If it does make sense and sounds bad, then that also they don't really seem to like. Right?
The mind won't have it.
Yes. Main thing is it must sound nice.
Yeah.
Like that. So those that are sincere will listen to the, means we'll look at what's true. Okay, commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Some philosophers think only the ideas in their mind truly exist. Nothing else exists. They say the objective world, the world perceived by the senses, does not truly exist. Right? The fun part is they don't mind enjoying it. That's the thing. It doesn't exist, so, hey. What's the big deal? It's not here anyway. They say ideas or subjective reality are what truly exists. Right? So it's the objective world, but it's subjective reality. It's how I see it. Right? Does this make sense? So, if we can see is this is the basis of the of a lot of the modern philosophy, right?
But
the modern lifestyle, yes.
But don't we agree with that? We do agree with that for some.
So we'll agree that that's how they say. But the point is what is mundane is simply ideas. Material world is simply ideas. Material energy is facts. The jiva is fact. What the jiva is supposed to be doing is fact. What the material nature is there for is fact. But what's material is that people don't see the external energy and themselves in relationship to the Lord, so that makes it material. So you can say, yes, it's just ideas. But they're saying that that's the completeness of it. There's nothing beyond the ideas. That's the weakness. So that's why we can take anything that anyone says, and it has its basis in Vedanta, because you can only speak from what is the context of experience. And you can only experience what is there by, you know, the modes of nature and the arrangement of the Lord. So it's only in the context of the Lord's arrangement. So that means everything, any idea can be connected back to the Lord. But you actually have to know the philosophy to do it. Otherwise, you'll get attached or attracted or distracted by the particular interest in that particular idea in a mundane way. Does that make sense? Yeah. So here's the objective world, which is impersonal. Because who means if it's objective, that means there's someone higher who has said that this is the way it is. So you have to compare it to that. In other words, it's the standard. But it's subjective reality. But I deal according to what I see, what pleases me. Right? In other words, means I can either take either one of them. If it's about my, if it's between you and me, right? Then it's the subjective reality. What I see is real, that's the real thing for me. So it doesn't matter what you say, right? And if you're trying to say that, no, there's the objective world. And so therefore we have to fit into the human society in this, so what you're saying is nonsense. Right? Is that, you understand how it works? Right? So that's the whole point, is that just who's better at this, they get to be the victim. Right? Or they get to be the center of attention. Who's not so good at arguing this, then they get stuck on the outside, because it's always about the other person, and it's never about you, because it's about the ultimate reality. So the ultimate reality is all about that person. Does that make sense? So, but if you look at that, so much of the modern society is all based on that. Right? Because what they say is the human nature is according to their subjective reality. Right? So there's no actual authority. They say one should not perform activities, right? As he orders another cup of coffee, right? They say ideas alone exist, right? And then he's complaining that they didn't quite, you know, it's cold, you know, like that. Nothing else exists in truth. Bishop Berkeley... Wouldn't the proper pronunciation be Berserkly? Is that the correct pronunciation?
Actually, one of my class said it's Barkley.
Barkley. Oh, so not Berserkly. Okay. So Bishop Barkley. Okay. And other philosophers preach this philosophy of ideas. Why be a bishop? But then you're doing something. Which is called idealism. Okay. Okay, so here now we're getting to another philosophy, right? So now we've dealt with, now we're working within the, right? We haven't gotten technically to the gyan side, right? We've touched on it, but we've been working a lot with the karma side. So you have the selfish materialists, right? And then the, you know, what's the word for the extended selfishness? Unselfish materialism. And so that's two of those. Then you have the ones, then you have the tantric aspects, you know, which will be based on shastras and stuff, so-called. But then they get, their rituals get up, who knows where they get those from, right? And that, so then that, or you, now you have, and so then you have that positivism. Right? Is that the positivism is that, you know, you just do good work. It means I can be happy in the material world, right? So I do good work, everything will be nice, everybody will benefit, you know, or that altruistic element, right? It means I work for the other's benefit, that's what will make it work. So depending upon whether you're looking at it of how you're seeing the world or what you're doing in the world, right? And there's another word that he coined, right? It was altruistic
sociology,
right? So that science of how the society works and functions and all that kind of thing, because that's what you must know. But the problem is it changes. So how do you actually know what it is? So it's just a study of what's going on now. But because of this aspect, the subjective reality, then how you perceive it, that is the truth. That is the objective reality. Yeah, does that make sense? So now this thing where you're just talking about the only thing that's there, it's not good work, because the other ones, the positive or altruistic, it's good work. That's the reality. But here he's saying it's only the ideas are the reality. Right? So it's so even more mental, you know, in other words, how you say? I guess the perfection would be just the whole world would just be how you say? You know, roadside cafes on quaint streets, right? And that everybody could sit at it, right? You know, so then sit around and make their ideas and all that. Okay, so footnote 20. Get here, George Berserkly. Okay, 1685 to 1753. Ha ha, was an Irish philosopher. looks where he got where no can tell where he got his inspiration, right? It probably wasn't from boiled potatoes.
We didn't have it.
No, you take the potato, put it in the pot, and leave it there for a while. Then you get inspired by the potato. Okay. Was an Irish philosopher, Anglican minister, and bishop. Through his God-centered, immaterialistic concept of the world, he saw himself as purging philosophy of his tendencies towards skepticism and atheism. Since a material object is supposed to be something that holds or supports its properties, he claimed that we have no idea of material substance without its properties. Thus, he denied the existence of matter on the grounds that we have no direct experience of it. Shouldn't he speak for himself?
Yeah.
I guess that's why he ended up as a bishop, right? Couldn't do anything else. Okay. How does that work again? Okay. Of its tendencies towards skepticism and atheism.
But why it's God-centered?
Yeah, that's the fun part, is how they've mixed all these things up. It's God-centered, immaterialist. So it's a non-material, God-centered, non-material concept of the world, right? But basically, there's only ideas and there is no world. So in other words, everything's illusion. So it's an interesting combination.
Yeah. On that note, you gave the example of there's a tree and there's three men observing it, and each one of them has their particular angle and their own perception of it. So the only objective tree that's there is existing in the mind of God, he said. The entire world is a manifestation of God's mind.
And oh, so it's God's mind, not everybody else's.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
But then why atheism?
Atheism, because they think it's their mind without God, I guess. So in other words, there's the element that
he's trying to purge.
Yeah, but because then the concept is that the primary creation means how God says everything will be. So everything goes on here is a reflection of that. You just make it, how you say? In other words, the concept of a tree is created by God. That's in the primary creation. So here, then all these other trees that are made in the image of that. But the problem here is then he's saying that these trees don't actually exist. Right? But actually, it's only, you know, God's concept of a tree. But but why have that concept of a tree if there isn't a tree? Because otherwise, then God just sits around and just thinks of things. So then, if you go to heaven, just everyone sits around and thinks of things? Or, you know, what's happening? No, there is real trees. So the point is these are the reflection of the real trees, but the reflection is real. Right? You know, there's a reflection in the mirror. It's not the real thing, but the reflection is real. It's an actual reflection. You understand? So these are the problems where they can't separate the two. So they're dealing with a good idea, right? That it's God's concept that's real and our concept is illusory. But the problem is then the material world doesn't exist, there's no good work, there's no this and that, then why have any position, why do anything anyway, why be a bishop? Yes.
Is it like taking Mayavad philosophy and adding God?
Well, in this, yeah, it could be, but in this case, he seems to be trying to start with God, but ending up with Mayavad philosophy.
Yeah, kind the next of. Page has to deal with that.
Yeah. Okay.
It also has a similarity to Plato when he says the ideal world is the true world.
The ideal world is the true world, and this is illusory, yes. So those elements are there. We'll say this material world is an illusion. What we're talking about is our concept of it, but it actually exists. You know, but the real world is the spiritual world. So they're catching ideas, right? Because just from previous lives, from the nature of the soul, that has to be supreme. But unfortunately, then they're unable to, without the Vedic literature, without Parampara, to actually be able to make it complete. You know, so it always comes out something lacking. You know, that's why then another philosopher comes in, and where they see the lack, they come up with something to fill that, but at the same time, they generally tend to lose what was there, right? Because that's the standard material thing, is whatever it is, that's bogus, throw the whole thing out. But all you're doing is, the reason you're throwing out, let's say it's got 10 points, but I find one point wrong. So technically, I should replace that one point with a proper idea of the one point. But they always throw out all 10 points and then present the one point. But now it's lacking the other nine. So then someone will come up with the something that has the other nine. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? But then they've thrown out that one. So it just keeps going back and forth. Mm-hmm. It never works. That's the difficulty with the material. So that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakura says. You know, what's useful, keep that. Throw out the rest of it. You know, because the point is if you're talking to someone, you want to discuss Vedanta philosophy, right? But the point is in the second verse of the Chaturshloki, Krishna says, means God is the value. You can see God in your values, right? Because there's so many unlimited things in the world, right? But what you value is where you can see God, right? Does that make sense? So when you talk to somebody, they're going to have some variety of philosophy. Everybody has one. Right? So the point is what is their philosophy? You take that, stripped of the material concept, and where its origin is in Vedanta, and start discussing Vedanta from there. That will mean something to the person. Does that make sense? Right? That's how you choose. It's not, means of course, what's being said, the guy is talking, he's talking about God consciousness, but he's also talking Mayavad philosophy. But that's only because he doesn't actually know enough philosophy. Right? And somehow he's been tricked because he's coming up with this on his own. So it's not coming in Parampara. So the concept that God is there should be God-centered. It should be free from material concepts. So therefore, God's concept is the real concept. That's good. So you should talk on that. You know, how the world's God's, it's His laws and this and that, if we follow God's law. So therefore, but that means then there's the spiritual world, there's the natural thing. So you just take it through here and take it through there. Right? Does that make sense? So it's, there's no fight, you've just dealt with it what's in its proper state. Mm-hmm. Like that. Does that make sense? And only if they don't go with that kind of flow, you can't find, then you might have to use Mudva's technique, where then it's just you bring out the opposite side. What do you mean it's right here? You know? What do you mean it's not there? You know? But it's three people have perceptions of God's tree, but it is, the tree is there. Yeah. You know?
They all see a tree.
Huh?
It's not like one of them sees a sink or...
Yeah, or a hippopotamus. Like that.
So it seems that the conflict in philosophy is always to see where is substance. Some put in the matter, some put in the ideas, but they're trying to...
Yes, it's always, where is substance? In sense gratification, you know, in good work. In other words, the substance is sense gratification derived from good work. Right? You know, or here, it's by ideas. Like that. Or it's that you can't get anything here, so the substance is getting rid of all this and then merging in Brahman. Or, you know. Yeah, so it's where they consider what substance. Because that's what we mean. Vastu means. So God is the substance. Right? That's the... Yes?
It's interesting, in the Western philosophy, nobody follows anybody, actually. Mm-hmm. This is kind of, otherwise it's not prestigious. You know, you're getting nothing. You have to create your own thing.
Yes.
And then in India, then everybody follows somebody.
Yes.
And yes. this makes a lot of difference in the people, you know, psychology. Yes.
There's a consistency. Otherwise, then from each one to the next, it just something disappears, and then after so long, then you pull something out again, and that. So in other words, the element of Muni remains, but the problem is then it's that completeness is there because you're not building on the previous person, right? It's just like means all your young professors now. They have a totally different idea than the person in the chair. And they're just waiting for the guy in the chair to die, because that's the only way he'll go out of the chair. Right? You know, so the only way to get him out of the chair is that, you know, the what do you call it? The coroners will come and pick him up and carry him away. That's it. You know, otherwise.
Yeah,
he's dead. Yeah. Yeah. Like that. He says, hey, where are you going with the chair? He says, he's tied himself to the chair. So they're waiting so that they can then impose their ideas and completely throw out his.
So opposition is kind of the standard in Europe. Yes.
Hmm?
Opposition is just the standard in Europe. It's just always.
It's just, you know. I mean, it's only called, it means now it's post-modern.
Mm.
Only because the guys in the seat are modern and they're waiting for him to die so they can change the name and come up with something different.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically what's going on.
It's actually interesting to contemplate the West because it's what they're saying is like the pattern of evolution is the negation. So this goes and this goes. And afterwards they find a pattern of one negating the other and they try to find a pattern into that.
Yeah, and they come out with so many nice words and philosophies all based on their ego. But, you know, it's, I mean, in other words, it's really hard to talk to philosophers. Like this morning, there was this Russian group that came. They're all teachers of philosophy and religion. Some of them are also chairs in their university. Like that. Or they developed the curriculum for that or something like that. So these were all the big, you know, some variety of Russian philosophers. Like that. You know, these are the ones that control, you know, like that. But when you actually get into it, anything you say, they're always just kind of sticking it in little boxes and that. And then, no, but the real thing is this, and what you're saying is that we would put over in this little corner here until you just take it beyond their scope, and then at that time, then it's all, oh, okay, you know, and stuff like that. But it's when you talk stuff they can relate to, you know, that they categorize it. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
But as soon as you go beyond that, Then it's like then they could see. So by the end, it took an hour. But then it's all, oh, this is nice, this, that, and listening, you know, stuff like that. But for the beginning, they ask, you know, always question, oh, what do you do? What's this? How many kids? How many teachers? You know, that kind of stuff. And then at some point, you get into something, you touch on something, and then it starts this whole riot. You know, because the person who asks the question can speak English, and the other ones only speak Russian, and the translator can't keep up, and the other guy's going, hey, what's going on? Why would we be like, so it was a real riot for a while. And then finally it calmed down, and there was a whole thing about ethics. And so then I had fun with that, because then this one guy kept wanting to ask a question, but I said, according to ethics, this other guy, he's older than you, so according to ethics, he has to ask a question. Then it was someone else, no, she's a woman, so she asked like that. I said, only if that guy, because he's younger than you, if he asks, then you're first, then you're next, you know, like that. So it was fun.
Do you have a recording or?
No, there was no recording. This one lady was there typing away.
I saw them on their way back. They were talking like anything. Something profound had happened to them.
Okay.
That was obvious.
That's good.
Yeah.
Either that or someone had stepped in some of the cow dung. And that's the big topic, you know, how you get this cow dung off.
Profound. Why did they come?
I have no idea. I know they showed up. And then,
you know. I have heard Maharaj, they are here for one symposium. It's on Vaishnavism and Vedic culture.
Vaishnavism and Vedic
culture.
Okay.
3-day talk is going on in Mayapur.
CD talk.
3 days talk.
Oh, 3 days talk. Okay.
So they'll be back tomorrow in the day.
Okay, let's see. So and they'll come up, and one of them will hold their shoe up. What about this?
He stepped in Varnash.
Ah, yes. Okay. So, since a material object is supposed to be something that holds or supports its property, in other words, it's an ashraya, he claimed that we have no idea of material substance without its properties. Okay. Thus, he denied the existence of matter on the grounds we have no direct experience of it. So, but somehow or another, this is not... This is you wrote this, or this is a quote or something?
I wrote this.
Okay, but how... So, could you... How do you explain this? No idea of material substance without its properties. But so, the thing is the material object has to be able to support its properties.
Right.
So why is it that there's no matter because we can't have direct experience of which means the support or its properties?
We only experience the symptoms. Like, for example, the fire. We only feel the heat or the light or the burning, but we never actually experience the substrate or that object which gives off those symptoms or those properties. We're never in touch with the object. We're only in touch with the
symptoms. But the point is those symptoms are the dharma, the nature of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But they don't think in these terms.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not working on that. Okay, and but also they don't understand the masculine and feminine of a non-different subject. Okay, so in other words, the original concept of fire, what is that? So they're giving credit of that too, means that there is actually fire.
But it doesn't exist materially. It only exists in God's mind. There's no such thing as matter in that sense. That's what they're trying to say.
But then why is there this manifestation that appears that way? Does he give some reason?
Because that's God's imagination, that we're living inside his mind.
Okay, so if we're living in his mind, then that means then we're actually experienced, because if what's in his mind is real, then that means the tree or the fire is also real, because that's what's in his mind.
Yes.
But at the same time as... Why do we say there isn't anything there? So, in other words, it's not matter, it's God's mind.
Exactly. It's an immaterial. Yeah.
Okay, so that means the material world is spiritual.
That's the next doubt that comes up, actually. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is addressing that.
Okay.
Basically, it was a response to all the empiricist philosophers who are saying all there is matter. There is nothing beyond that. And they're saying, and he's trying to refute that by saying, no, there's no such thing as matter, period.
Oh, I see. Okay. But we'll also say there is no technically matter. It's all Brahman. It's all it's creation. Because we're taking matter meaning just as something, a separate entity.
Well, that's what he gets into the next paragraph, is that he's not going beyond. All he's doing is refuting matter. He's not talking about the spiritual.
Spiritual. That's the problem. He doesn't deal the one and then the other. So they don't go far enough.
Exactly.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then here, Mill accepted a modified version of this idealism. Mill, who's
John Stuart Mill.
Yeah.
Okay, he's different from Berserkly. Okay. It is not correct to say that this idealism is the same as spiritualism. Okay, so that means they're trying to present it as spiritualism. Okay. When a person thinks about the information that came from his senses, those thoughts are called ideas. The ideas, okay, so that's their definition of ideas. Means the information coming in from through the senses that come into the mind. So what we would classify as the second stage of the mental process. They say that's ideas.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. The ideas that come in this way are only thoughts based on material senses. The material senses touch with the world of matter. These thoughts are not about anything beyond the world of matter. Gathering the light that filters in through the senses, the mind thinks. In this way, ideas arise. Therefore, idealism is not something above materialism. Okay, so that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's point. Okay, is that they say that what the mind is thinking is ideas, but since that came in from matter, that means it's created from matter. So they're just having, what do you call it? Manipulating the matter on a subtle platform in the mind. So therefore, it's still materialism.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Among the impersonalists, so that means that even our bishop here is still a materialist.
Yes.
But he's attempting to try to establish
yes.
the spiritual, but he doesn't actually know. Mm-hmm. Well, it's okay. Among the impersonalists, Advaitavadis, some say there is no God, there is no world, there are no living entities. All these are only ideas. Ideas are eternal and of great variety. These ideas will never cease to exist. Ideas are the absolute reality. Okay, so the impersonalists also. So they must be left over. These people, they were impersonalists in their last life, but they didn't have the piety to remain there in that state. So they ended up, you know.
Ireland.
Yes, in Ireland. Like that. He liked potatoes. That was why he ended up over there. Okay. This philosophy is very pathetic and foolish. Only a madman would be inclined to believe it. But right? No God, no world, no living entities. There are only ideas. But why is it there's ideas?
Yeah.
Right? So why is it ideas are eternal? Why is it ideas are eternal, but God can't be eternal, or the living entities, or the world? You know, why only that? You know, this. Okay. If we examine the lives of the philosophers who profess these opinions in their books, we will see that, as far as their actions went, they did not believe the idealism they preached. Right? In other words, they were very busy trying to enjoy yeah, material nature. Is that the idea?
That's why he took birth in Ireland.
Yes.
The second point is no beer in India.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. It is not wrong to say that the ideas are a subtle form of matter. Therefore, this idealism must be counted among the different varieties of materialism. Riti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur further comments on Berkeley's philosophy in the Bhagavad. Right. Means it was a book he wrote. It was an essay called The Bhagavad. Okay. The hasty critic, so this is about Berkeley.
Yes.
Okay. The hasty critic starts like an unbroken horse in the name of Maya. Starts like an unbroken horse at the name of Maya and denounces it as a theory identical with that of Bishop Berkeley. This Maya intervenes between us and God as long as we are not spiritual. When we are able to break off our bonds, we, even in this mortal frame, learn to commune in our spiritual nature with the unconditioned and the absolute. No, Maya does not mean a false thing only, but it means concealment of eternal truth as well. The creation is not Maya itself, but is a subject to that principle. Right? In other words, the creation's not Maya, but that's the subject of the topic of Maya. Because he's saying here, it's not just that the Maya is something that's false, it's also what's covering our actual understanding of what's real.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah? Right? Because otherwise, it's not just saying that this is false or this is true that's the main thing. It's also the element of actually knowing what's real. Because to say something is false, okay, nice, but what's real? Right? It means like someone can say, okay, this is not real, let's say, saffron. Okay? But can they tell what's real saffron? What's the proper quality of this, that? That they don't know. They just know some little to what's not real. So then what's really, it means, okay, nice. It keeps you from getting distracted by what's not real. But the point is, it doesn't actually establish what's real. So it's short like that. So then that's also still then false.
Yeah.
Right? Certainly the theory is idealistic, but has been degraded into foolishness, right? By wrong explanations. Right? The materialist laughs at the ideal theory, saying, how could this body, water, air, and earth be mere ideas without entity? And he laughs rightly when he takes Shankaracharya's book in his hand at the butt end of his ridicule. Right? So, means if he's taking the Shankara's philosophy and ridiculing it because of this, he's not wrong. Right? But the problem is that doesn't mean that therefore, because it's real, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right? And the other one is it's not real, so therefore you don't enjoy it. You know? But the point is it's not about enjoying ourselves, it's about serving the Lord. That's the problem. That's why the karma and jnana. The basic point is what you're controlling and enjoying. Right? So that's the difficulty. The true idealist must be a dualist also. He must believe all that he perceives as nature created by God, full of spiritual essence and relations. Right? So he's just taking it that that's real, but he also has to understand this is real. But he must not believe that the outward appearance is the truth. Right? It means that the real truth is that the tree is there because there's a nature that God has given it. That's the real thing. In other words, their idea that there's that internal thing and that's the real thing. But this outside is bogus. And the materialist says this is bogus, that other one is bogus. Point is you have to have both. Right? You have to have both. But of the two, the idealist is, in one sense, in a better position than the gross materialist. Right? But at the same time, because he doesn't actually understand the absolute truth, he's still material. Just a little better material. Just like the philanthropic materialist is better than the self-centered materialist. So the idealist is a better materialist than simply the altruistic. Because at least there's the idea of something higher. Yes.
But he would also have a tendency to be more puffed up, no?
As you go up, each one has their own unique puffed upness. Okay. You know. In other words, if you were in a dark alley, would you rather have bumped into the idealist puffed up ego or the self-centered materialist puffed up ego?
I'll take the idealist.
Yeah, so each one has his problem.
That would be the same.
That means, in other words, if you meet him on the campus, he's going to be the problem.
He's the, yeah.
Yeah, but if you meet him in a dark alley, he's not the problem. Yeah, yes.
Pious and impious, both materialistic, it's only a question of one.
Well, it's pious, impious, and then this, kind of mental or intellectual kind of thing. Because much of the time is this platform he's talking about, this is where the academics like to kind of position themselves. Because it's the thought that's the thing, Like that. You know what I'm saying? In other words, within karma, there's also a jnana aspect. Right? Like that. Just like within jnana, there's also karma aspects. But it's just where the prominence is. So that's why we would still classify this as materialism. And when we're talking materialism here, we're meaning karma. Right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're still meaning karma.
Yep. Empiricism.
Yeah. Okay. He must believe all that he perceives as nature created by God, full of spiritual essence and relations, but he must not believe that the outward appearance is the truth. The Bhagavad teaches us that all that we healthily perceive is true, but its material appearance is transient and illusory. The scanty right means there are real trees, but that what we're seeing is manifest, those come and go. So there is that original concept that is from the mind of God. Right? But they're not able to see that both are there. But one is manifest. Yeah. The scandal of the ideal theory consists in its tendency to falsify nature. But the theory, as explained in the Bhagavad, makes nature true. If not eternally true, is God and his ideas, the Bhagavad. Right? So in other words, he's taking his philosophy and bringing it actually to the Vedantic level. So what's actually the problem is that he falsifies nature. Right? Like that. So that's the problem.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nityananda Gaur ki Jai